Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, I don't have a Father's Day story for you, but I do have a Grandfather's Day story. When I was a little boy, I remember when my grandfather used to take me to visit his farm. At one point, he gave me some corn seeds to go plant in my parents' backyard. And I love planting the seeds. I watched the corn come out of the ground and grow through the summer. I used to sit in the backyard all through late spring and summer, just watching the corn grow. Grandpa always said that if it was knee-high by the 4th of July, you knew you'd probably have a good crop that year. So if you're growing some corn in your gardens this summer, in a couple weeks, I guess you'll have an idea if you're going to have a decent harvest. Of course, Grandpa also used to say it's all in the good Lord's hands. Farmers have a better sense of that than do most of us. You don't have a lot of control over the weather. But isn't that the case for life in general? Whether good years or bad, the Lord's always in control. Now, if you like to farm or grow stuff, you probably love today's gospel lesson. It's all about seeds. Today's part two of a lesson that actually began earlier in the chapter. Jesus had told this parable about a farmer who'd sown seed and had fallen on four very different types of soil. Now, back then, they didn't have all the fancy farming methods we have today. They just tossed the seed onto the ground. Well, some of the seed fell on rocky ground. Others fell in the weeds or on the path where the birds swooped down on it. But some of the seed fell on good soil and took root and flourished. Jesus' point is that people are a lot like those different types of soil. Sometimes God's word falls on good soil and takes root, but quite often it does not. The parable of the sower, though, leaves a lot unanswered. How does a seed grow and flourish? And when will it grow and blossom? And so Jesus returns these matters in today's gospel text. The kingdom of God is like this, he said. A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, and then the full grain on the head. As soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle, because a harvest has come. Now, for those who lived prior to the last century or two, people never knew exactly how a plant grows. So much of a plant's growth early on is hidden in the soil, in the ground, where you can't see it. Watching plants appear out of the ground and grow is like watching a miracle take place. This incredible transformation of a mere seed into a tall, fruitful plant. So how does it grow? For the farmer in Jesus' day, you don't know. It just does. Sharing God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ is a lot like casting seed onto the ground. You know, we're all called as disciples of Christ to share our faith with other people. And more often than not, you've no doubt come across people who are not interested in your witness. But that's what makes the exceptions all the more delightful. You just can't predict where the seed of God's word will take root. I mean, often it's where you least expect it. You may plant a seed that takes root, and you may never know it. Someone else may come along and reap the harvest that you sowed. It's God's way of reminding you that the power of the word does not belong to you, but it's all his doing. We're just instruments for planting the seed. The growth takes place of itself. We never need to worry when we've been sharing God's word. What God does with the seed is his business. The good Lord's in control. And we just have to have faith that the word we share will bear its fruit, even we don't see it. Now Jesus goes on. And he says that the seed's growth takes place in stages. First by a shoot appearing out of the ground, then an ear, and then the full grain in the ear. Now, the Jews of Jesus' day loved to talk about the growth of seeds as a way of getting at how events would take place through the various eras, the ages of time. And we see something similar in Mark's gospel. We learn that the time of Jesus' earthly ministry was a period of secrecy or mystery. Jesus kept telling his disciples not to let anyone know what had happened until after his resurrection from the dead. But with the resurrection came a new day, when disciples were no longer to keep the message a secret, but were to openly proclaim to people about Jesus Christ. And our Lord also talks about a third era, after the period of his earthly ministry and the church. He talks about events that take place at the end of time, when he'll come on the clouds with great power and glory for all to see. Now, in our gospel text today, this morning, Jesus is already hinting at this division of time. The era of Jesus' ministry is like the appearing of the shoot out of the ground. The era of the church is like the dawning of an ear of grain. And the end of time is when the full grain appears in the ear. The point would have been clear to Mark's listeners. God's seed will bear its fruit before the end of the age. We don't need to worry. Everything will take place in due time, just like watching the corn grow through the season. We're witnesses of the growth of a church to the end of time. And like the corn, it's a beautiful sight to see, even if we don't understand the hows and the whens. Now, Jesus shifts gears from this parable to another parable that focuses on the final stages of a plant's growth. And this time, Jesus takes as an example a mustard seed. He said, well, what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed that when sown upon the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on the ground, and when sown it comes up and grows taller than all the garden plants and produces large branches so the birds of the sky can nest in its shade. The kingdom of God is like a very tiny mustard seed. I mean, you'd never guess by its size what fruit it would bear. And this is encouraging news for us as a church when we find ourselves beleaguered by the dark forces of this world. We should take courage. Although it's tiny, the mustard seed bears an incredible fruit. Everyone will see it at the end of the days when its deceptive smallness gives way to grandeur and suffering turns to joy. In Jesus' parable, the mustard seed brings to mind a lot of passages in the Old Testament about the great kingdoms and nations of the world. In Daniel, for instance, King Nebuchadnezzar is described as a tree that grew and became strong, and its branches reached into the heavens. The birds of the sky made their nests in its branches. But then a being came down from heaven and destroyed that tree and cut it down, leaving behind only a stump and its root. Likewise, in Ezekiel, Egypt is compared to a cedar with its highest branches in the clouds. It towered high above all the trees. All the birds of the sky nested in its branches. All the great nations, even Israel, lived in its shadow. But God judged the cedar of Egypt, and so foreigners came and tore down that tree. Likewise, Ezekiel also spoke of Israel. Today's Old Testament lesson, Israel is a sprig of cedar that God planted on a high and lofty mountain that produced and bore fruit. Birds of every kind will nest under it, taking shelter in the shade of its branches. And then all the trees of the field will know that I am the Lord. I bring down the tall tree, and I make the low tree tall. So we're kind of expecting Jesus to talk about what will become a great and tall tree. And Jesus instead speaks not of a pine cone or of an acorn, but of a mustard seed. A mustard seed doesn't grow into a tree. It just grows into a plant, some 4 or 5 feet tall. So why didn't Jesus pick a seed that grew into a tall tree? I mean, that's what we were expecting. His point is that the mustard seed is so tiny. You'd hardly guess from the size of the seed that it would grow so tall and become so dominant. And as we listen to Jesus talk, some of the imagery here has almost revolutionary overtones. I mean, the mustard seed was known for its pungent taste and odor. You know, to give you a sense of the PR on mustard seeds, let me share with you from Vesuvius. He was a first century scientist. And he writes in his volume on natural history about mustard seeds. It grows entirely wild, although it's improved by being transplanted. But on the other hand, once it's been sown, it's scarcely possible to get the place free of it. The seed germinates at once. I mean, in other words, even when you cultivated it for its medicinal value or for cooking, mustard was a very dangerous plant that could take over your entire garden. I mean, not only did the plant tend to get out of control. If you're a farmer, the mustard plant would attract birds, and the birds would ruin the rest of your crops. You know, the mustard plant, it could be good, but in small and carefully controlled doses, if you could control it. Once planted, there might be no stopping it. And that's Jesus' image for the power of God's word. It cannot be stopped. And it will overthrow the forces of this dark and sinful world. I mean, who would have guessed that Jesus, who appeared so ordinary as a man, would bring about the downfall of no ordinary kingdom, but the rule of Satan himself? And he did it in a way that all humanity benefited, just like the birds of the air nesting in the mustard plant's branches. And he's doing it through his church, which is likewise small and seemingly powerless, and yet great power is hidden in apparent weakness. God is turning this entire world upside down through humble means, through a shameful death on the cross, through what began as a tiny, beleaguered group of disciples. The power of Christ's word may seem small and insignificant from your mere human point of view, but stay tuned. For when it fully blossoms, it will take over this fallen world and restore all creation. As we struggle against illness and disease in our lives, as we struggle against the effects of sins that plague us, as we struggle against the unbelief of our friends who refuse to hear our witness to Jesus Christ, our gospel text is reminding us to have patience. The tiny seed of God's word has great power. It will grow, and God will turn this entire world upside down before the end of the ages. As a farmer slept and rose to find his crop blossoming, our mortal bodies will go to sleep and wake up to imperishability, and sin will be no more. We can be patient in the trials of this life as we sit outside and watch the seed grow. We're not deceived by the smallness of the church or the apparent weakness of the gospel message. The next time you share the saving message about Jesus Christ and the word doesn't seem to be bearing fruit as fast as you'd like, don't worry. The word is more powerful than you could ever dream. It will have its fruit in due season, and it will change the world. After all, who would have guessed that Jesus would rise from the earth, conqueror over the grave? And so will we. Amen.